Over Sea, Under Stone by Susan Cooper, dramatized in four parts by David Calcutt. Episode 3, The Furry Dance.
Using the old map we found, we're searching for an ancient treasure from the days of King Arthur, the Grail. It's been hidden here in Cornwall, where we're on holiday, for over 1,000 years, and it has some kind of power. But there are other, dangerous people after it as well. The maps led us to a group of standing stones, but we can only work out where to go next under the full moon. So when our parents are suddenly called away, Jane and I go back at night with Uncle Mary. We discover where the trail leads, but when we turn to tell Uncle Mary, he's not there, and a terrifying figure rises up from behind one of the stones.
Got to get away!
Can't move!
There's more of them!
I'm cold.
They're behind the stones!
It's no use!
They're coming towards us!
We're trapped!
Simon!
Uncle Mary, did you see them?
It's all right. They've gone. The danger's past.
Where were you?
We couldn't find you.
I went to look for them. I knew there was something in those cries, unlike any owl. But it was wrong of me. I shouldn't have left you alone.
You know what you mean about them being dangerous now. We couldn't do anything. We were helpless.
And that man... When I saw his face...
It was the face of the enemy.
It was him! The man who chased me yesterday.
But I recognized him too. That's what was so frightening. It was the vicar. And he saw the outline of the map in the guidebook.
Barney, finish your drink, Evie.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Polk.
Give me your mug, then.
I'm sitting up in bed, thinking about the others, up there by the standing stone. Because of my sunburn, they've left me here to guard the map. I was looking at it when I heard Mrs. Polk coming up the stairs and just managed to get it back inside the telescope case before she came in.
It's about time you were turning your light off.
I'm not tired.
No arguing. You need a good night's sleep. Give that sunburn a chance to die down. Still sore, is it, my dear?
Yes.
Oh, it'll feel better in the morning. Now, let's just get you tucked in. What's this you got here?
Oh, it's a telescope. It's the captain's. I borrowed it. I'll put it back, though.
Fancy. I never seen the captain using a telescope.
It's really good. You can see for miles with it.
Can't see much at night, though, can he? I'll put it on the table. I'll be there for you in the morning.
Good night, then, Mrs. Polk.
Good night, my dear. And see you get yourself straight off to sleep.
As soon as she goes out, I get the telescope case and put it back under the bedclothes. Then I lie in the dark, trying to keep as still as I can. Whenever I move, the sunburn really hurts. If I hadn't got it, I'd be out there instead of stuck here in the house with Mrs. Polk. There's something about her I don't trust, especially since I found out she's Bill Hoover's aunt. He's helping the ones who are after the Grail.
I won't go to sleep. I've got to guard the map. Like a knight keeping a vigil. One of Arthur's knights. Sir Barnabas of Rover. The guardian of the Grail.
It is all that remains of the old world. Yet, if it be not lost, when the day is ripe, Pendragon shall come again, and evil be thrust out, never to return. Therefore I give it into your charge, for I am wounded near to death, and can do no more.
You're not going anywhere with sunburn like that, my dear.
Beware of them. They are not what they seem. They are evil.
Stay here with me.
I don't suppose you have a map Do you? What's this you've got here?
Stupid children meddling in things you don't understand.
Where is it?
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me.
No. No.
Suddenly I'm wide awake. For a moment I wonder what it is that's woken me. And then I realise there's somebody in the room. I can see a light. The light of a torch. And there's a dark shape above it. It stops still for a few moments and starts to move again. Whoever's in here is looking for something, and it can be only one thing. The map. I grip the telescope case hard. It's still here. Still safe. But for how much longer?
Oh, blast!
Mrs. Polk!
Dear, bless my soul!
Mrs. Polk, what are you doing?
I didn't know you was awake.
I wasn't.
I just come in to get your cup.
My cup?
You had your drink in here, my dear, remember?
But you took it away.
Did I? Oh, yes, so I did. What a silly old thing I be. Well, I'll leave you to get back to sleep. Sorry to wake thee. Good night, my dear.
I listen as she goes away. This time I don't go to sleep. I sit up in bed with the light on, waiting. And it's still on when I hear the door open downstairs and voices. And a little while later, Simon comes into the room.
Hey, you still awake?
What happened?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Did you find where we've got to go to next?
Yeah.
Where?
Another headland.
Did you go and look?
No, we had to get away.
Why?
They were there. The enemy.
What?
Not so loud.
What did they do?
Nothing. Uncle Mary saved us.
How?
I don't want to talk about it now. I just want to go to sleep. Turn the light off, will you?
Simon?
Not now, Barney. You've had a horrible night and I'm exhausted.
But I've got to tell you something about Mrs. Polk.
Tell me tomorrow.
I wake early. Everyone else is still asleep. So I make myself some breakfast and then go for a walk down to the village. The tide's high, splashing over the harbour. And I can see Mr. Penhallow stepping out of his boat onto the quay.
Morning, young'un. You're up early.
Have you just come back from fishing?
That I have.
Did you have a good catch?
Oh, fair. Hey, seeing as you're here, why don't you give me a hand tying your boat up then?
Great.
Right. Grab hold of that rope then. And hold on tight. Gotta be good and secure. It's here the tide is this morning.
Doesn't normally come in this high, does it?
Oh, only twice a year. March and September. It's strange to have such big tides in August. Look at all them strong winds we've been having.
And how far will it go out?
Oh, a long way. Now you wait till about 5 o'clock this evening. Yeah, it won't look so pretty then. And tides like this, you can walk all round from the harbour here and ride out past the gravestones.
Gravestones? What are they?
That big rocky headland out along the cliffs.
Why is it called the gravestones?
Oh, can't say as I know me, handsome. That's what it's always been called. But there is some tale.
What?
Oh, it's a piece of nonsense. But folks do say is the place be haunted.
Haunted?
Yeah. Most people living around here won't go near it. Now, how about give me a hand with these boxes?
After I finish helping him, I go back to the house. Simon and Jane are up now, and so is Mrs. Polk, bright and breezy as usual. But Uncle Mary's still fast asleep.
And that's where he can leave him, gadding about in the middle of the night. Bit natural at his age. Not a fish to show for him.
But I want to ask him something.
Whatever it is, it'll wait. Now, the three of you get out in the sun when you've finished your breakfast and leave him to have his sleep out.
I suppose she's right. Last night must have been an awful strain on him, what with one thing and another.
But we haven't made any plans about what to do next. We can't go to the rocks without him.
Why not? It wouldn't hurt. And we can leave a message for him with Mrs. Polk.
No! Not with her.
What's the matter?
We can't trust her. She's one of them.
Mrs. Polk?
She came sneaking into my room last night. I'm sure she was looking for the map.
Come off it, Barney.
Really, she was.
You still here? You're missing all the sunshine. 'Tis a grand day. Perfect for the carnival.
Carnival?
Yes, 'tis carnival day today. Oh, 'tis grand. They decorate the arbor with flags, and there's tents and stalls and games, and then a band comes out and plays the furry dance.
The what?
The furry dance. It was danced in my grandmother's time and before. Everybody dresses up in fancy costume, and they go through the streets and round the arbor, dancing and laughing. A furry dance. It's like the old days come back again.
Seems like fun.
It is. You mustn't miss it. And I don't want to miss it myself, so if you've finished, I'd like to get cleared away.
Right, we're going.
Mrs. Polk, when Uncle Mary wakes up, can you tell him to come meet us?
Of course I will, my dear. Where is it I'll be telling him to go?
He'll know.
It sounds mysterious.
Not really.
All right then, my dears. I'll give him your message when he wakes.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
We go out and start making our way across the headland. And as soon as we're away from the house, Jane and Simon tell me all about what happened the night before.
It made me realise just what it is we're up against.
I wonder how many of them there are.
Well, there's four we know of.
And Mrs. Paul.
Don't start on about her again.
But I told you.
Uncle Mary said she was okay, and he'd know, wouldn't he?
I'm not so sure. We don't know who's on their side. Sometimes it feels like everyone's the enemy. Like they're all around us. Everywhere. Even up here. Watching us. Following us. Waiting to...
Let's go back and get Uncle Mary. I don't think we should go anywhere without him from now on.
We can't.
Why not?
Look, down there, it's that boy. Bill Hoover. He's outside the house.
Lucky we left when we did.
We'll just have to go onto the rocks alone. I hope Uncle Mary isn't long.
That he managed to get out of the house without being seen.
We go on, climbing uphill until we come to the standing stones, and stop there, by the tallest one, looking out towards the rocky headland.
That's it. That's where we've got to go next.
The gravestones.
What?
That's what they're called. Mr. Penhallow told me.
Why are they called that?
I don't know. The locals think they're haunted.
Great.
We make our way across to the headland. Even though the day's bright and clear, the wind's still strong, and getting stronger, blowing straight into our faces. It's as if there's a kind of force pressing against us. A darkness gathering up from the land, closing in.
This is it. The gravestones.
It's like we're standing on the edge of the world.
It's a bare, lonely place. Big rocks all around us, rising up out of the grass like the stones of some ruined castle. The wind in our faces, and the cliff dropping down to the sea far below. That's all there is. The sea and the wind and the rocks.
Where do we go from here?
What does the map say?
Nothing. Kimar Head, the Standing Stones, this headland, and that's it. There's nothing else marked, nowhere else to go.
Perhaps it's here, then.
The Grail?
Yes. It's in the manuscript, isn't it? The Cornishman said he buried it over sea and under stone. There's the sea down there, and here are the stones. It's where they buried the knight as well, Sir Bedwin. That must be why they're called the Gravestones. And the locals think it's haunted. They've forgotten the real story because it happened so long ago. But they remember that bit of it.
Well, it's the right kind of place for it.
It's exactly the right place. We're there. We found it. All we've got to do is look.
Where?
Under one of these rocks.
What are we supposed to do? Dig them all up? They're part of the headland.
Oh, maybe one of them's loose.
Covering a hole?
Yes, some kind of hiding place. We just search till we find it.
We clamber over the rocks, search the grass between them, push and tug at them to see if they'll move. We run our fingers over their surfaces, trying to find some crack or crevice. But no stone moves, and there's no sign of any hiding place.
Looks like you were wrong, Barney.
I'm not. It must be here somewhere.
Unless it's just another step on the way.
But you said yourself there was nowhere else to go. This must be the end of the quest.
Oh, it looks like it is. For us.
We sit there, on the clifftop, wondering what we should do next. A little way off, towards the edge of the cliff, a large boulder stands on its own. I'm trying to remember whether I've tried that one or not. And just at that moment, a gull drops down out of nowhere.
What was that?
Just a gull.
Oh.
It's landed on top of that rock. It's looking at us.
Come off it, Barney.
It is. Staring straight at us.
It's the strain. It
must be.
I watch the gull. Suddenly it flaps its wings, hops down onto the ground beside the rock, and starts tugging at the grass with its beak. And then, it pushes its beak under the rock.
Did you see that?
What?
That gull.
Still all about that.
It pushed its beak right under.
Under what?
Under the rock, Simon. Look, he's right.
We run across to the rock as the gull squawks and flaps off. We kneel beside it. Down there, at the base, there's a tiny gap.
Just get my fingers in. Ow!
It moved. The rock, I saw it move.
Yes, I felt it.
Perhaps we can shift it if we all push together.
Okay, let's have a go.
It's a big rock, heavy and round.
It won't budge.
Keep trying.
We push it as hard as we can.
Come on.
Don't give up.
It feels like we're trying to push a whole mountain over.
I think it's starting to move.
Stay with it.
And suddenly we're falling, and the rock's rolling away, bouncing over the edge of the cliff and crashing into the sea below. Where the boulder was, it's a flat piece of rock, and in the rock a large hole. We kneel around it, looking down into the darkness.
Listen.
It's a sea.
Down there.
How deep do you think it goes?
I don't know.
Drop a stone down.
Okay. Here goes.
Hear anything?
No. It's deep, all right.
It must go right down through the cliff to the sea.
That means there'll be an entrance down there, at the bottom of the cliffs.
A cave! And that's where he hid the grail!
Even if there is, it won't do us much good. Look, the sea comes right in. It's all underwater.
Simon, get down!
Huh?
The yacht! It's them!
We drop flat onto our stomachs. Out there, just off the shore, the Lady Mary swings into view. And there on deck we can see Norman Withers, looking straight towards us, through a pair of binoculars.
Lie still. Don't move.
Has he seen us?
I don't know.
He knows we're here.
He can't.
I can feel him, looking, searching for us. He knows.
Barney!
I push my body down into the grass and feel a kind of force pulling at me, trying to make me move, stand up, cry out. And it's getting stronger, growing all around me. Too strong.
No!
Then it suddenly snaps, and everything's clear again.
It's all right. He's gone.
We stand. The yacht's disappeared. The sea's empty.
All right, Barney.
I think so. Did you feel it?
Yes. It was like an eye burning into me.
I wanted to call out.
Me too.
Do you think they know?
I don't think so. Not yet. If they did, they wouldn't bother with us. They're getting close, though.
Too close. We've got to move fast.
And do what? We're pretty sure we know where the Grail is, but we can't get at it. If there is a cave down there, it'll be filled with water.
Oh, and the Grail might even have been washed out to sea. Lost forever.
It can't be. Oversea, the manuscript said.
Maybe the land sunk a bit since it was hidden there.
Or maybe... Yes! We can get at it!
How?
Something else Mr. Penhallow told me this morning. I've just remembered.
When tide's like this, you can walk all around from the harbour here and right out past gravestones.
So, if we come back here this evening when the tide's out, we can find the cave.
And the Grail!
It's worth a try.
Ah, but this time I think we'd better bring Uncle Mary with us.
That's a point. Where is he? It's been ages since we left the house. He should have got here by now.
If Mrs. Paul gave him the message.
Maybe he's on his way up.
Only one way to find out. Go back to the house. If we're quick, we can make it before the yacht gets back.
What if that Bill Hoover's still there? What if there are others looking for us?
We'll just have to take that risk. There's nothing else we can do. I've got a feeling time's running out.
By the time we get back to the village, the carnival's well underway. We stand on the hill, looking down. Flags flutter all around the harbour. There's music playing, voices chattering, laughing.
Looks like they're having a good time anyway.
Doesn't seem real somehow. Like another world.
I wish we could go down there.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
We can't, though.
Why not? Just for a minute.
We haven't got time.
Oh, it's not fair. We're supposed to be on holiday.
I know how you feel. But there's the Grail. We can't forget about that.
I wish we could.
You've changed your tune.
I'm fed up of all this chasing around everywhere. And what for? It's nothing to do with us, really.
Yes, it is. Uncle Mary said.
I know what he said.
It's important.
Maybe it is to him, but not to us.
You wouldn't talk like that if you'd been there last night. If you'd seen them.
Seen who?
Those figures.
Or maybe you just imagined it.
Barney!
Or maybe you just got scared in the dark.
You're the one that's scared.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are. That's why you want to give up. You're just a scared little kid.
Oh, I'm not a kid.
Stop acting like one then.
Barney! Simon! Stop it! Can't you see what's happening? It's them. They're making us act like this.
What are you talking about?
It's their power working on us. Trying to stop us. Uncle Murray said they were dangerous. But I'm only just beginning to understand what he meant. Just think what would happen if they did get hold of the Grail. Think how much stronger their power would be. Working on everybody.
And as we stand there, on the hill above the village, we know she's right. We can feel that dark power rising all around us. A shadow spreading slowly across the whole land.
There's people down there. Would all change. All be different.
Sorry, Barney.
Me too.
Come on, let's get back to the house and find Uncle Mary.
But when we get back there, the house is silent and empty. Uncle Mary's gone.
He's not upstairs.
No. His bed's made.
Oh, Mrs. Polk's not here either.
She said she was going to the carnival.
But where's Uncle Mary?
You must have missed him.
How?
Maybe he went the back way, round the other side of the hill, if Bill Hoover was still lurking outside the front.
Or Mrs. Polk didn't give him the message.
Oh, so you might have gone down to the village to look for us.
We've got to find him.
Tell you what, you two go down to the harbour and I'll run to the top of the headland to see if he's up there.
No!
Why not?
I think we should stay together.
What else can we do?
I just don't like the idea of us splitting up.
Neither do I. But I think Barney's right. We can't take the risk of missing him again.
Well, if I can't see him, I'll come straight down to you.
All right, then. But don't be long.
I won't. Got the map, Simon?
It's here in my haversack.
Right, see you then.
Barney!
What?
Just be careful.
Takes me longer than I thought to climb up the headland again. The path's steep and the wind's still blowing strong. I can see all the way across to the standing stones and the rocks. But there's no sign of Uncle Mary. So I turn and run back down to the village. It's afternoon when I get there, and the streets are empty. The only person there is Mr. Penhallow.
Oh, you just missed him, my handsome. Waited here a good while, they did, watching the swimming race in the harbour.
Where did they go? They said they'd meet me here.
Well, they went along with the procession. Came past here about 15 minutes ago.
Where is it now?
Hear that music? Well, follow that and you'll come to it.
Right.
Dancing all through the streets, they be. Just follow the music and you'll find it.
I set off through the streets, trying to find the procession. I go down narrow lanes and winding alleys, twisting and turning. Like when we explored the Grey House. Passage after passage, leading us on towards the map. The same now, as if something's leading me. But what to this time? I turn a corner and I'm there, right in the middle of it. The streets filled with weird figures, giant heads, animal faces. There's a man all covered in green leaves, a girl with a fox's face, a bird-headed woman. And there's something familiar about her.
Eerie,
Mrs. Polk.
Come to join us, happy Barney?
Have you seen
Come on, my boy, come and join us.
Join in the dance. Hurry, dance. The old times come back again.
I'm surrounded by them, dancing all around me, pressing in, closer and closer. I try to push my way through to get past them, but it's no good.
Where are you going?
Go join him.
Join the dance. Everybody's joining in.
The fox girl grabs my wrist and spins me round. Mrs. Port laughs and claps her hands. The green man stamps in a circle around me. Their faces come closer, grinning. And suddenly I know them. I know them all.
Round and round.
Hurry down.
Let me go.
No, we got you now.
We'll never let you go. Now, quick, get him away.
There's a hand clamped over my mouth, and I'm picked up and carried through the crowd away from the procession. I kick and struggle, but I'm being held too tight. And before I know it, I'm flung into the back seat of a car. Doors slam, the engine starts, and the car pulls away down the road.
Oh. There we are. Just sit still. We'll soon be there.
Where are you taking me?
Don't you know?
Of course he doesn't.
Well, you'll soon see, Barnabas.
What do you want?
I don't want anything. Just taking you for a little ride, that's all. I don't think you need go quite so fast, Polly. These lanes are rather narrow.
I know what I'm doing.
Are you kidnapping me?
Kidnapping? Dear me, no. What a silly idea. We're your friends, aren't we? And we're taking you to meet another friend of ours. I think you'll get on rather well. Here we are.
Right, Barnabas. Out you get and in we go. Just in time for tea, if it's not too early for you.
We get out of the car and go in through a gate. There's a long, overgrown drive leading up to an old house.
This way, Barnabas. After you.
It's dark inside and very quiet. There's a kind of musty, damp smell to the place. Our footsteps echo on the floor as we walk down a hallway towards a door at the far end. We stop outside.
Come.
It's a big, gloomy room. Curtains are pulled across the windows. There's a man in the room, standing in the shadows. He's tall, and I can't see his face.
A visitor for you, sir.
Ah, I see you've brought the youngest of them. How do you do? My name is Hastings, and yours is Barnabas, I believe. Please, sit down. Ah. I hear you're on holiday at the Grey House.
Yes?
An interesting place, by all accounts. Your sister thought so.
Jane?
Yes, I met her a few days ago. She came here to see me. Didn't she tell you?
Not really.
I see. I'm pleased you've come to see me, Barnabas. Very pleased indeed. I'm looking forward to us having a pleasant little chat together. Are you?
Yes.
I hope so. Because you see, Barnabas, there's something I want to know. Something you can tell me. And before you leave, my boy, that is just what you are going to do.
In episode 3 of Oversea Under Stone by Susan Cooper, Uncle Merry was Ronald Pickup, Jane Naomi Kerbel, Barney Edward Clark, Simon Ben Gutteridge, and Hastings Struan Roger. Other parts were played by Jerry Hinks, Duncan Law, David Stevens, Catherine Hunt, and Anna Keane, and the music was composed and performed by Martin Alcock. Oversea Under Stone was dramatised by David Calcutt and directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.